Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubas Daf Ayin Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 2 lines from the bottom of Daf Ayin Beis Omid Beis. You will notice a house shape in the middle of the line. On the side of the Gemara, we have a mivneh, structural note, which reads, Shnei Mikrim, 2 cases, Shebohem Holkim Rav Ushmuel. 2 cases in which you'll see Rav and Shmuel arguing. We have a nosei, a topic heading, that in which we indicate that this goes until Daf Ayin Dalet. So we have a rather long topic ahead of us. Kitcho Al Tnai, a man married a woman. He offered her money in exchange for her consent to marriage, but conditionally, she'ein oleho nedarim, that she has no vows that she has taken, the konsa stam, and then enters the second stage of marriage, consummates the marriage without reiterating the condition, the nimso leho nedarim, and lo and behold, he discovers that she has vows, that she had taken vows. Ha'im bayo get, does a get requirement present itself here? In other words, there was a condition that the marriage was based on, and the condition was not met. So he's going to part from this woman. Does he need to give a get? Does he need to give a divorce document? Or do we say that it's a marriage based on a mistake, making it such that there was never really any marriage here? The condition was not met. This is a machloikis Rav Ushmuel. So, in terms of the format, just let us emphasize, we have the first stage of the marriage, whereby the woman becomes an Eishes Ish, with a condition stated. And then the chuppah, the consummation of the marriage, which might be several months later, the condition was not reiterated. The Gemara, Itmar, Kitcho Al Tnai, a man marries a woman on condition that she has no vows, the Konsa Stam, and then consummated the marriage without reiterating the condition, and it turns out she has Nedorim, she had taken vows. Rav, Omar Tzricho, Heimenu Get. Rav says that a get is required. The fact that he did not reiterate the condition at the point of consummating the marriage, which involves going under a marriage canopy and then an initial intimacy. So that makes it such that since it wasn't reiterated, so a get is required. Ushmuel Omar Eino Tzricha Heimenu Get. Shmuel says the whole entrance to marriage was a mistake. The whole thing is based on a mistake, and therefore we call that a mekach tos. There's no need even for a divorce document. Omar Abaye, we continue at the top of Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. Lo Tema Taimei Derav, don't say that the reason for Rav requiring her a get, Kevan de Konsistam Achuli Achle Litanoi, that since he consummated the marriage without restating the condition, that is a sign that he forfeits or foregoes or forgives on the condition. Don't say that. Don't say that he's forgiving of his initial stated condition, which if he did forgive that condition, he would be obligated then to pay the ksuba upon divorcing her. Elotayma de Rav, the reason for Rav saying that a get is required, lufi she'ein odom oisa bilaso bilaznus, that when a person engages in intimacy, which is associated with the kunsa, with the second stage consummation of the marriage, a person does not engage in intimacy as an act of harlotry. In other words, a person, when he does an act of intimacy, he does it with seriousness, with marital intents. We look at Rashi at the top line. Lo temo kosova Rav. Don't say that Rav holds achulei letanoi uksuba boy lemesiv law, that he's forgiven on the condition and therefore he would have to pay the ksuba im megarsho if he divorces her. Elo taimo de Rav, Rashi continues, leinyan get. The reason for Rav's requiring a get is to kosovar ein odom oisiv losiv losnus. A person, when he gets involved, when he does an act of intimacy, he does not do it with harlotrous intentions. Uboal l'shem kiddushin. And the intimacy that he did was with marital purposes. Vafilu yimso le'al nedarim. Even if it turns out that she has vows upon her. Aval le'inyan mamona. But as far as money matters are concerned. And here we see a very interesting, it's almost an abstract phenomenon of what's splitting between the, we'll call it the realm of monetary concern and the realm of, we'll call it religious concern or ritual concern. So that as far as money matters are concerned, b'tnoi koi, he is maintaining his original condition. Shim yimtzalo nedorim, if it turns out that she really has nedorim, teitzei b'lo ksuba, that she will leave, she'll be divorced without receiving the ksuba compensation. So it's an idea that one has to absorb, that he, on the one hand, is serious about the bia that he does. He has marital intentions, understanding that even if it turns out she has violated my intentions, my desire that she be free of vows, even if that turns out to be otherwise, the act of intimacy is a serious act, creating a marital status which requires a divorce document to end it. However, as far as money matters are concerned, that's already a different story. I'm not willing to pay her the ksuba. That is part of his mindset when taking her in this way. As you can see, there's a bracketed section, and following the brackets, four lines from the bottom, Sitnan, a quote from the Mishnah, and we glance at the side for a note regarding this bracketed section. Achrei Sugraim, after the bracketed section, HaGemara Makshal Shmuel, the Gemara will raise a question against Shmuel, Diomar Kitra Al-Tanai begins to stam lo bayaket, where that was Shmuel's position, that if he married her initially with a condition then consummated it without reiterating it, Shmuel says she doesn't need a get, and we'll see a challenge to that. Within the brackets, there's a separate issue is brought up. So now that we've laid out the map of the Gemara, we glance at the other margin. You see the Nose, there's a topic heading, Machloikis Ravu Shmuel beinyan yisoima ketana shalom yano bekatnusa. We'll see a controversy between Rav and Shmuel regarding a girl that was married off by her mother or brother in a rabbinic sanctioned marriage. And this girl, though, if she had willed it or had stated it before reaching adulthood that she wants out, she could just walk out of the marriage. But in our case, she did not do that. V'higdila, and she reached adulthood, meaning she above 12 years old. Ubala abayla, and the husband that she was married to through this rabbinic marriage had intimacy with her. V'omda v'niseis li'acher. And then after having intimacy with her, we'll call rabbinic husband, she now, as an adult, goes and marries someone else. Ha'im yitzricha get mehasheni. In departing from that second man, is she considered married to that second fellow or not? You know, and namely, if she's considered married to the second fellow, so then in order for her to leave him, she would need a get. And In order for us to envision her being married to the second individual, we will have to say that the intimacy she had with her rabbinic husband after she reached adulthood was not considered a serious act of intimacy. We didn't mention before, but just by way of adding to words of introduction, we mentioned the concept of a rabbinic marriage provided for a minor whose father is no longer around and whose brother or mother marries her off. Until 12, she can simply walk out of the marriage without any get requirement. If she stays with the fellow, with the husband, till above adulthood and then has intimacy, the general thinking, and this is we're going to have to focus on this when we go through the Gemara, the general thinking is that the intimacy subsequent to her reaching adulthood constitutes an act of marriage. That means she would be considered fully married to him. However, we already saw that maybe that's not the case. So now let's look at the Gemara. We saw Rav and Shmuel arguing up till this point regarding the issue of does a person in an act of intimacy does a person make his biaznus or not? In other words, is a person willing to view his act of intimacy as a non-serious act, as an act of harlotry? According to Shmuel, it seems that a person is willing to view his bia as such. According to Rav, no way. So the Gemara now asks, in the brackets, v'ha pligi bo chadazimna. We've already heard this argument between Rav and Shmuel. The Itmar, here's our second case. Ketana shalomiano v'igdila. Ketana is a minor who was married off rabbinically by her mother or brother, and she did not, miana literally means refuse to continue with him. She did not express her refusal. Vigdila means, and then she crossed the line of adulthood. She reached adulthood, and here the main thing is missing from the words of the Gemara, but Rashi fills it in. Vigdila, Rashi says on the second narrow line, ubo olel v'achgach miyano v'yomda v'nises. After she reached adulthood, she had intimacy with the rabbinic husband, and then after that she says she refuses to continue with him, and she goes and marries someone else. So now the question is, what status does that connection with the second man have? So we read in the Gemara, V'higdila omdo v'nise, she goes and marries a second man, Rav Omar, ein tzricha get misheni. She's not considered married to that second fellow. We look at Rashi, ein tzricha get misheni, d'chi godla, Rashi says after she had reached adulthood, bo oleho, L'shem Kiddushin. The first husband, the rabbinic husband that he had been, had intimacy with her for marital purposes. Yodeahu She'en Kiddushin Ketana Klum. He knows that the Kiddushin that he had with her as a minor is of no halachically binding strength. So his knowing that the girl with whom he had been married up till now was not really married to him because of this concept of ein kiddushei ketana klum. So when he had intimacy with her, after she reached adulthood, she's no longer a minor. So his intimacy with her was l'shem kiddushin, was for marriage purposes. So that this girl's then subsequent going to a second man is a zero. A married woman can't become married to a second fellow while she's still married to the first guy. So she doesn't need a get from the second fellow. There's nothing that took hold between the woman and the second man. Shmuel, we continue in the Gemara, Shmuel Amar, Tzricha get Misheni. We look at Rashi, Tzricha get Misheni, Dechol HaBoyel Al Das Kiddushin Rishon HaBoyel. That when people engage in intimacy, they do so on the basis of their first Kiddushin, of their initial act of marriage. And the initial act of marriage here was a, we'll call it a rabbinic form of marriage. On a Torah level, nothing took hold. And hence, her marriage to the second man is a real marriage. And she would have to, if she's going to leave that second man, she's going to need a divorce document. Rashi goes on with a bit of background. Rashi continues, V'afal gav de moide Shmuel she'asura l'sheni. Even though Shmuel concedes that she is forbidden to the second fellow, the Mishnah Shleimohi, the Ein Habas Mima'enes Mishavio Shtei Cyrus, it's a Mishnah that says that once a girl brings forth two hairs, she cannot walk out on her rabbinic husband. And that's what we saw over here. She had reached adulthood and then decided to walk out on the second husband and on the first guy and go to the second man. But we know that she can't do that. So how is it that Shmuel says that she requires a get from the second fellow? Get mi obayomine, a get nevertheless is required. Dehal diamri rabbonon gedola lo mimaenes, that which the rabbonon said that an adult does not have the ability to refuse continued a relationship with the first one is midrabbanan, who that's only rabbinic. That means on a Torah level, according to this approach, according to Shmuel, on a Torah level, even after she reaches adulthood, she has the power of walking away from the first husband. And the intimacy that she had had with him after her godless was based on the original rabbinic marriage, which on a Torah level is not a marriage. It's a zero on a Torah level. Therefore, the original marriage is a zero on a Torah level. The subsequent bia that she has with him is based on that original zero marriage. The right that she has to walk out on him, she has on a Torah level. Therefore, she's a free agent when she goes and marries the second husband, and therefore, we require a get. Rashi continues, V'rav sovar do raisahi. Rav says that the prohibition of the woman after she had intimacy, after her gadlus with the first husband, the prohibition of her doing miyun, of refusing to continue with him, is a Torah level prohibition. She can, you know, she's restricted on a Torah level from walking out on him. Mishum dechi boil, mishum tagdil, because when she does have that act, when she does have the intimacy with that first husband, l'shem kiddushin boil. He did so with her for marriage purposes, and she's completely married to the first guy. Therefore, there is nothing with regard, there's no connection with the second fellow. So at this point, Rav says that she doesn't need a get from the second man. Shmuel says she does need a get from the second man. This seems to be the same machlokas as we saw already. In both of these cases, according to Rav, the intimacy was for kiddushin purposes. According to Shmuel, the intimacy was not necessarily for kiddushin purposes. The nafkamina, the practical issue is there a need for a get? So, once again, the question is, once we have Rav and Shmuel arguing about this, why do I need the second machlokis? The Gemara answers, Tzricha. Notice we have a long answer. The I Itmar Behi, had we taught the what we have called the second case, where he had intimacy with the girl after she became an adult, Behi Ko'omar Rav. There, Rav would say that the intimacy was for marital purposes, for marriage purposes. Mishum Deleko Tno, because there was no condition. And everyone knows that the initial kiddushin was the kiddushin with a ketana, with a minor, and it had no value. Avol b'ha, but in the first case, where it was a marriage with adults, but with a condition, the ikar tana, in the first case where there was a stated condition, and the condition was not met, Emo modi le lishmuel. I would have thought, without being taught Rav's position, I would have thought they would agree with Shmuel that since the condition was not met, there is no marriage at all, and there would be no need for a get. We look at Rashi, the Ika Tana, Rashi, four lines before the wide ones, toward the end of the Rashi commentary. Visovar hu, the husband figured, she tekayem Tana, that the condition he stated would be fulfilled. The Hoyol uminsev ole, ein ole haneder, since she went ahead and agreed to consummate the marriage with him, it must be she has no vows. For lo masik adaite liv oil l'shem kiddushin, it doesn't occur to the husband to have the intimacy for marital purposes. Di eino chofetz bi ishon adranis, he doesn't want a vowing type woman. So that in the case of a stated condition, I would have thought that when it turns out that his condition was not met, there's no marriage whatsoever. As Rashi says, he doesn't want a vowing woman, and therefore there would be no need for a get. So therefore, I have to teach, in addition to the machlokis that we have as Roman numeral number two, I have to teach Roman numeral number one. The itmar b'ha, and had we taught the case of with the condition, b'ha korma Shmuel, there Shmuel says there's no need for a get because he was relying on the condition. Avol b'hach, but in the case of the tana that had Bia with the husband after she reached adulthood, Ema Modi Le Larav. I might have thought that in this case that Shmuel would agree with Rav. As we said, everyone knows that the kiddushin she had as a ketana was nothing, and therefore the subsequent bia that she had with the first husband was for marriage purposes, and therefore she then when she went ahead and married the second guy, nothing takes hold. So that's what I would have thought had I had stated the controversy, the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, just in the first case with the condition. Therefore, I need to teach both cases. Now, as we said earlier, the Gemara is going to raise a question on Shmuel. Shmuel had said that there would be no when the marriage was made with a condition and the condition was not met, she can walk out even without a get. Now we're gonna challenge that. Tnan. Konso stam venimtsu aleo nidorim teitse shelo b'ksuba. Ksuba hu delo baya. We can infer from this quote from our Mishnah that a ksuba is not required. Ha gito baya. But a get is required. My love, what is exactly the case of the Mishnah? The Mishnah quote that we just had of Konsistam, what happened? Oh, it's a continuation of the Reisha of the Mishnah. We spoke about this at length in our previous year. Is this section of the Mishnah a separate phrase or a continuation of the Reisha? We're assuming right now it's a continuation of the beginning of the Mishnah, namely, Kidsho al Tanai the Konsistam. That he had married her with a stated condition and then consummated the marriage without restating it, and it turns out that the original conditions are not met, as we just inferred from this, you would need a get. Tiyufta to Shmuel. And that would be a refutation of Shmuel. The Gemara responds, and we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Lo, not like we thought that this Tanaic quote is a continuation of the Reisha, but it's a separate case. Kitcho stam v'konso stam. The Seifa, as we call Milsabapi Nafshas, Rashi says it's a separate clause. And what happened is that there was a marriage, initial stage of marriage, or being presented money in exchange for agreement to marry without any stated condition, and the consummation without any stated condition, and that's why a get is required. Now, let's just point out that the second phrase in the Mishnah, this most recent Tanaic quote, is then telling us a ksuba is not going to be paid, but a get is going to have to be given. Rashi points out that later we're going to have to check that out. Like, why is that? Why a get, yes, which would indicate that we're disbanding a formal marriage, and yet no ksuba payment is going to be made to her. The Gemara continues, Avol, but we can now infer that Kitsha Tnai Vekonsistam, Hochi Nami Delobayogita. That would be what we could infer that in a case where there was no condition stated, so a get is required. But if there was a stated condition that was not met, then like Shmuel, not even a get would be required. Well, if that's so, Aditoni, instead of teaching the ratio of the Mishnah as follows, Hamikadish esu isha almanas she'ein oleh nedarim v'nimsu oleh nedarim. A man married a woman on condition that she has no vows, and it turns out that she has. Eino mekudeshes. There is no marriage. Well, if Shmuel is correct, then Lisni, the Mishnah should have taught Konsa Stam the Nimsu Aleha Nidorim Eino Mikudeshes. Now this Gemara is a bit terse, but Rashi explains that the suggestion here of Lisni Konsa Stam means the Mishnah should have taught that a case of a person was Mekadesh a woman on condition that there are no vows, and then he took her in, he consummated the marriage without saying the condition again. And we are saying that she would not be mekudeshes. V'kol shekein ha, and all the more so, the stated case of the reisha, where there was just the first stage, where there was just kiddushin, without any konsistam. Namely, that if you have a stated kiddushin and then konsa stam, and you're telling me there's no need for a get, all the more so where there's no konsa, there would be no need for a get. So why doesn't the Mishnah teach it like that? The Gemara says, Hachi nami ko'omar. This, in fact, is the intention of the Mishnah. And it reads as follows, Hamekadesh esu isha amanas sheino leo nedorim, V'konso stam v'nimso leo nedorim eino mekudeshes. The Rashi adds that when our Mishnah uses the term v'nimso leo nedorim, that in fact is after there was a knisa, after he consummated the marriage. So even though the knisa was done stam, eino mekudeshes, no need for a get. A second case, kitsho stam v'konso stam, where the kiddushin was done without a stated condition, and he took her in, he consummated it as well that way. Teitse shelo b'ksuba. She can be divorced without receiving a ksuba, without receiving the ksuba payment. Ksuba hu delo baya, ha gita baya. A ksuba is not required, but a get, in that case, would be required. The Gemara asks, umay shno ksuba delo baya, why are you saying she doesn't need to be paid a ksuba in that case of kitsha stam v'konsa stam? The Omar, because the husband can say, e efshi be'isha nadranis, I can't live with a vowing type woman. And Rashi adds that even though he didn't state the condition explicitly, it's as if it were stated. Well, ihachi, if you're viewing things like that, that it's as if the condition was stated and it wasn't fulfilled, it wasn't met, get nami loti boy. There should be no need for a get either. Now, Rashi adds very importantly, this whole discussion is within Shmuel. I hope that's clear. And Rashi says, "Get nami lo tiboy deho Shmuel lesle ein odom osa bilosa bilaznus." Shmuel does not hold that a person views his intimacy as an act of seriousness. Namely, within Shmuel's realm of thinking, it's possible that a person would actually conduct intimacy with a harlotrous intention, let's put it that way. And being that he would do so, there should be no need for a get. The Gemara continues, Omar Rabo, Tzricho get mi divrehem. The requirement for a get in that case of Kitshustam v'konsustam is a rabbinic requirement. V'chein Omar Rav Chisda, Tzricho get mi divrehem. It's a rabbinic stringency that's imposed. And therefore, on a Torah level, the principles that we stated thus far are still intact. And the fact that, and within Shmuel, that includes the idea that Adam Oisa Bilasa Bilasnus, and the idea of Ef Shibisha Nadranis is a reality. And though it wasn't stated explicitly as a condition, it's considered as if it were stated thusly. The presence of the get, as we said, is only a rabbinic requirement. Rova Omar, Tano Sfuke Misafkale. The Tano, as we see in the case of Kitshustam V'Konsustam, no Ksuba is paid, but yes get, is in a state of doubt. He's unsure. Gabi Mamona Lekula, Gabi Isura Lechumra. As a result of his not being sure, Rashi adds, Sfuke Misafkale, Al Stam Odom Im Efshi Beishan Adranis Im Lav. What the Tana is not sure of is the average person, can he accept a vowing type woman, a woman who has a vowing tendency, or not? So the Tana is in doubt about that. And therefore, when in doubt, when it comes to money matters, the money stays where it is. The money in question here is the husband's money. Does he have to pay it to the woman? No, we say, Mamona Lakula, we are lenient in this respect that the money stays where it is and he does not have to pay. In other words, we're makil on the husband. He doesn't have to pay. However, when it comes to Isura, namely her status as an Ashes Ish, is she considered a married woman or not? Can she marry someone else? So, lechumra, we are stringent, and we insist on a get to be given. Now, as you see, we have a slash mark, because what follows is a new trend of thought. We're still within the same general topic, but we want to point out that now we're starting a new thought process. And the first point that you see is, of course, a diamond. And they're also numbered 1 and 2. And on the side, under the Mivneh heading, you can see we've called the Shnei Lishonos B'Divrei Rabba. Two versions of Rabba. After we show that the first version is untenable, we then go into a second version of Rabba. Let us now glance at the side, where we have a Nosei, a topic heading. We've written the expression Tois Isho Achas. The Gemara will feature Rabba, who appears to moderate the Machlokis between Rav and Shmuel. In other words, state under what circumstances Rav and Shmuel were arguing. However, in the case of Tois Isho Achas, Dahainu, Kitsho Altnai, a man marries a woman with a condition, She'ein Olel Nidorim, that she has no vows. The konsustam, and then consummated the marriage with silence, in other words, without restating the condition. Lefi Rabba, according to Rabba, Divrei Hakol Sovrim, everybody, including Rav, will agree, Delo Bayo Get, that there is no need for a get. Dibiloso Havi Al Smach Hatnai Shehisna, that the consummation of the marriage was on the basis of the original stated condition. So then, if that is Rabba's contention, that everyone agrees about that, the question will arise, and the Gemara will deal with that straight away. What are the circumstances under which Rav and Shmuel argue? We'll see expressions in the Gemara like Tois Shtei Noshim, or Tois Isha Achas Ke'en Shtei Noshim. We'll have to see what those mean, and then be able to appreciate what Rava is trying to say. Now, the Gemara. Omar Rava, Machlokes B'Tois Shtei Noshim. The Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel concerns a case where a person had married woman number one, stating a condition, and then he married woman number two, stam, in silence. And it then turns out that a woman number two has vows. Rav will be of the opinion that since he didn't state a condition specifically with the second woman, even though he already revealed his feelings with regard to the first woman, that I can't deal with, I can't live with a vowing woman. Regarding the second woman, since he didn't state explicitly the condition upon a decision to terminate the marriage, a get will be required, because it could be that with regard to the second woman, he was so infatuated or in love with her that he wasn't mindful, he wasn't concerned with the possibility of her having vows. Shmuel, on the other hand, in that scenario of two women, where with the second woman he didn't state the condition, Shmuel holds, once he reveals his mindset, that's considered a uniform revelation with regard to all women. And hence, he can leave the second woman, or the second woman can leave him without even a get. It's simply viewed as a mekach tos. Now we turn to the Gemara. Omar Rabba, and we pointed out already under the Mivneh heading, if not, let's just do it again. There are two versions as to what Rabba says. So Omar Rabba, machloikis betois shtei noshim. The machlokes Rav and Shmuel is as we just described, when there are two women involved, when the non-statement of the condition was with regard to the second woman. Avol betoisi sha'achas, but in a straightforward case of marrying one woman, stating the condition at the beginning, and then consummating the marriage with her in silence, divrei hakol, everyone will agree, even Rav, Ein tzricha heimenu get, that there is no need for a get, that when he consummated the marriage with her, when he had be-all with her, when he had intimacy with her, his mind was on that condition. And when it turns out it's not met, so there is no marriage to begin with. Omar Abaye. Abaye asks, V'ho mas nisen? Well, our Mishnah, and again, as we've said a few times, the Mishnah, and in raising this question, and by raising this question, we're going to work with the assumption that the Seifa is a continuation of the Reisha. That the Reisha began speaking about a man was Mekadesh a woman al Tanai, that she has no vows, and it went on to say Konsa. That Konsa is a continuation. So Abaye asks, according to this assumption that the Mishnah is a Seifa that continues the Reisha, the Mishnah itself describes that case of Kidsho al Tanai v'Konsastam v'Kamosvinon Tiufta Minei. And from our Mishnah, we saw this in the Gemara, four lines from the bottom of Omid Aleph, the Gemara had raised an objection to Shmuel. So that if the Gemara is raising an objection to Shmuel, it shows that you can't say that l'divrei hakoil there is no need for a get. The Mishnah taught there's no need for a ksuba, but a get is required. So for Rabba to say that Everyone will agree that Tois Ish Achas, there's no need for a get. You see that there was someone that didn't agree with that. There was someone that was asking on Shmuel who spoke about no need for a get from that very case. Elo I Itmar Hochi Itmar. Well, if Rabbo said anything, it's the following. So we have a restatement of Rabbo. Omar Rabbo. Machloikis. The Machlokis Rav and Shmuel is Betois Isho Achas Kain Shte Noshim. Avo Betois Isho Achas Great So Divre Hakoil Eino Tzricha Heimenu Get. The Machlokis Rav and Shmuel arose in a case of, in fact, one woman, but like two women. What does that mean, one woman like two women? So the story is as follows. A man was mekadesh a woman with a condition, and then before they ever consummated their marriage, he divorced her. He divorced her from the state of Erusin, and then took her back without and konsustam without reiterating the original condition. And then it turns out that she has vows. According to Rav, a get will be necessary, and according to Shmuel, no get is necessary. However, with Tois Isho Achas, great so means the simple case of Tois Isho Achas, a man was Mekadesh woman with a condition, and Konsustam, everyone will agree that there is no need for a get. Let us take a look at Rashi. Now, as far as the Gemara at the bottom of Omid Aleph, when a question was raised against Shmuel, it was raised against this particular case of Tois Isho Achas Ke'en Shtei Noshim. You can see this point in Rashi on the first line under the Gemara text, the first wide line of Rashi. In the middle of the line, Rashi says, "V'chi oisvina li'el mimas nisin." And when we had raised a question on Shmuel before from the Mishnah, "Hachi osvina," we asked it thusly, "My lav kitsho al tnai the konsostam mishegirsha." Notice that last word, mishegirsha, is extremely important. That the Mishnah suggested that a man who had married her with a condition and then divorced her and then took her back after the divorce without restating the Tanai, de belo girsha leko leman de omar, without any divorce, so there's nothing to talk about. The hecho de girsha miho kotoni, however, where he does divorce her, ksuba lo baya, ha gita baya. So when you're dealing with a situation like that, where he had married a woman on condition and then divorced her and then took her back without restating that original condition, what is the din now? So in that case, Shmuel says that when he discovers that she has vows, she will leave without, she would be able to leave without a get. And regarding that case, we asked on Shmuel from the Mishnah. However, in a case where he married a woman and konsostam, and then it turns out that that she has vows, Rabba will tell you everyone agrees that she doesn't need even a get. Eisvei. Now we have a new marking on the side of the Gemara, under the Mivneh heading, these crown shapes, which continue, by the way, onto Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. These crown shapes represent Kushos al Rabo. Rubam, most of them are Mimakoros Shivahem Royim Delo Divre Hakoil Sovrim Kirabo Elapligi Badovar. From these sources we're gonna think that we see that contrary to Rabo, not everyone agrees that in a toi sisha acha situation, that the marriage can be disbanded without a get. So now the Gemara. Esve Abaye. Kitsha betois, a man married a woman with a predicated on a mistake. Upochas mishava pruta. When we speak about a man marrying a woman betos, the thinking right now is a tois concerning vows, that he thought she had no vows, and it turns out that she does, or he offered her less than a pruta in seeking her marriage. Pruta is the smallest, let's say, understood currency or denomination, and he offered her less. V'chein koten shekidesh, likewise a minor that marries a woman. These are all examples of things where the marriage doesn't really take place. But this was done, any one of these were done. Afal pi shesholach sivloinus l'achar mikain, even though the husband sends gifts afterwards, in any one of these cases, either the kivushin betois or the pochs mishava pruta or the koton shekidesh, even though he sends gifts to the arusa afterwards, and he may very well, and he's in this scenario, in the case, let's say, of a marriage with a koton, he sends the gifts after he becomes a godel, after he reaches bar mitzvah, he sends gifts to the arusa, to the woman. Eino mekudeshes. Those gifts do not represent a correction, a tikkun of the original faulty kedushin. So they don't represent rectification. Therefore, she's not mekudeshes. Why? Shemachmas kedushin horishonim sholach. The gifts that were sent were predicated on the original faulty kedushin. If there is intimacy, though, the intimacy results in a kinyan, in establishing a marriage. Reb Shimon Yehuda Omer Mishum Reb Shmuel Omar Im Boalu Lo Konu. If there is subsequent, act of intimacy, it does not serve as a means of establishing the marriage. Now, in this Tanaic source, the tois isha achasi, it's an example of a mistake in the straightforward fashion, namely, there was kiddushin with a condition, like the opening of the source said, kitsha betos, there was a kiddushin predicated on a mistake, on a condition, and then the mistake was discovered, upligi, and you see that there is a machlokes. My love, tois nedarim. Is it not our case of a man was mekadesh umin, that I'm marrying you on condition that you don't have nedarim, and it turns out that she has, and the Tanakhama says that if there was subsequent biyah, then there is a kinyan. The marriage is consummated. It's established. Let us take a look at Rashi on the in the wide lines. My lav tois nedarim. We're looking at Rashi at the sixth of the wide lines. Shehisnu imo amanas she'ein olel nedarim. He made a condition that I'm marrying you on condition that you don't have vows. Vit also, and she tricked him. Shehoyu olel nedarim. V'chein lemumin, and likewise with regard to blemishes. V'ulechol tanai shiyasne. In other words, you can have a condition on condition that you don't have blemishes, and it turns out she does, or any other condition that he may state. The Ka'amar Tanakama in Balu Konu. And the Tanakama said that was opinion Aleph in the source, that if there was an act of intimacy that followed, it establishes the marriage. Alma Iko Lamando Omar Afilu Betnai. You see here that there is an opinion that says, even in the case of a condition, Lo boil inish adaito de tanah, that the bia is not done with that tanai, with that original condition in mind. the masik adaite, because it occurs to the man dilma lo mekayim v'havio bilas mus, that the tanai might not be fulfilled, and the bia that I do would end up being an act of harlotry, and I don't want that. I don't want my bia to be an act of harlotry, and therefore it is kone. It establishes the marriage. So you see here an opinion against, or would say that the issue is a controversy, not like Rabo said that Toisi Shachas, everyone agrees, no need for a get. When you say Balu Kanu means you establish a marriage, and that means you would need a get to disband this marriage. The Gemara says Loi. That's not the understanding of the word Tois at the beginning of the source. Rather, Tois Pachos Mishofa Pruta. When it's said at the beginning of the source, Kitshabatos, it means he had offered her less than a pruta in exchange for agreeing to marriage. And regarding that, the source said, Imbalu Kanu, because people know that a kedushin cannot be established with less than a pruta. And he came to his senses, and when he had the bia, when he had the intimacy, he did so with kedushin in mind, with establishing a marriage. But a mistake or a condition concerning a marriage based on a tois of a tanai, a condition that was not met, it doesn't occur to the person that when he's boil, that he ought to be doing it l'shem kedushin, because he is relying on the original condition. So now we turn with that in mind. Then we would have dispelled the question on Rabba. Now you notice that we have a bracketed section. If we take a look at the starred note on the side of our Gemara, Achrei Sugrayim, Gemara Mamshicha LaHakshis Al Rabba. After the brackets, the Gemara will present another question on Rabba. B'socha Sugrayim, Gemara Makshal Tshuvas Rabba Umitaretzes. Within the brackets, we're going to raise a question on the answer we just gave on behalf of Rabba, and then answer this question, so that after the bracketed section, we're still with the mindset that Rabba is okay, that you don't see any objection to Rabba from the first crown source. Now that we've laid out the structure of the Gemara, we go into the bracketed section. In order to defend Rabba, we had to say that the beginning of the source that spoke about Kitshabatois was not talking about a tois, a mistake, where there had been a marriage based on a condition that was not met, but rather it was Pachos Mishova Pruta. But doesn't the source itself feature that case in a separate clause? So Gemara asks, Pachos Mishova Pruta? Behedya Kotoni La. Kitshabatois u pachos mishave pruta. It tells us that is a separate clause. You can see the pachos mishave pruta is a separate case from kitshabatois. So the more answer is that's not a problem. Pirushe komeforesh. The Tanaic source in effect explains itself. Kitshabatois ketzad. When the source opened up with the expression of kitshabatois, it then clarified what is that. For a case of tos would be where he had offered her less than a shava pruta. We had a machlokis in the Tanaic source whether the bia that follows a case like that, does it establish the marriage? More so, the Tanakama, who said in Balu Kanu, he holds Odom Yodea She'en Kedushin Toysim Pachos Mishava Pruta. People know that you can't establish a marriage with less than that minimum denomination of money. The Gomar Uboal L'Shem Kiddushin. And he concluded in his mind that the intimacy that I conduct with her, that is going to be the vehicle through which we establish our marriage. Umor Sovar, Rabbi Yishmael holds, Ein Odom Yodea She'en Kiddushin Toysim B'Bachos Mishava Bruta. You can't make the assumption that people know that Kiddushin does not take place with less than a Shava Pruta. In other words, there are people that think that you can offer a paper clip, a box of 100 costing, say, 39 cents, one paper clip being worth less than a shava pruta. And then people think that that will establish a marriage. V'chi ka baal, and when he conducts the intimacy, adayta d'kedushin rishonim baal, he was doing that intimacy as a follow-up or in reliance upon the original kedushin. So just like the original kedushin didn't take hold, this bia doesn't constitute an act of marriage. So now we continue with another question on Rabba. Esve, Hareini Boalech Almanas Shiirtze Abba. Man proposes to a woman, I'm going to have intimacy with you for the sake of establishing our marriage, on condition, he states a condition that Almanas Shiirtze Abba. It's a little presumptuous of me to try to translate this in light of the fact that the Gemara will actually debate this, but for the time being, the simple translation of that would be that I'm having this. Let us have intimacy on condition that your father approves. Afal pi shelo rotsa ha'av mikudeshes. Even if the father doesn't actually approve, she will be mikudeshes. It seems that you can say here that a person would not want his act of intimacy to turn out to be a bias nus, an act of harlotry, so that when he goes ahead and has the intimacy, he's doing so with taking into consideration all scenarios. Even if he doesn't approve, I still want this to be an act of marriage. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon. If the father approves, she's considered married, and if not, not. Well, when you look at this case, it's like the case of Toisi Sha'achas and Upliki, and you see a machlokes. Whereas Rabba would have told you that in a case of Toisi Sha'achas, when the conditions are not met, the marriage is disbanded without a get. Here you see a possibility of the conditions not being met, and the Tanakhama says you would require a get. The Gemara rejects this analysis. Hosam beho komifligi. The machlokis we just saw in this source between the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon Yehuda is as follows. Mor sovar, the Tanakhama holds almenas shiyirtzo ha'av means almenas shiyishto ko'av, that I'm marrying you on condition that yirtzo ha'av means on condition that he does not express objection, on condition that he remains quiet. V'hoshosikle, and he remained quiet, so the conditions were met, therefore mikudeshes. And that is the case. The father had remained silent. Umor Savar, and Reb Shimon holds Almanas Sheyomer Abo Hain. The marriage was based on the condition that the father would express positive approval. The Ha Lo Omar Abo Hain, and the father did not fulfill that condition, and therefore Eino Mekudeshes. But you do not see here a case of, we'll say, non-fulfillment of conditions, and nevertheless, there is a marriage. As far as that type of case, non-fulfillment of conditions, everyone will agree, no marriage, and hence no need for a get. Just like Rabba. Esve. We raise another objection. Before reading the Gemara itself, let us take a look at the Rashi, who gives us a little bit of background for the source. Five lines from the bottom of the Rashi commentary. Moidim Chachomim the Rebbe Eliezer B'Yevomis Tnan. It says in the Masechta Yevomis, Hamagarish Yeso Isha Ve'echzira, a man divorced a woman and then remarried her. Umeis, and he dies without children. And there's a surviving brother, Muteres Layovim. The divorcee, who was then subsequently married, so she is a widow now. And as such, a widow, with her husband leaving no children, marries the surviving brother. Reb Elazar Oser. Reb Elazar says, I can't allow that. In that case, I won't allow Yibum. V'asim aforish taimo, the Reb Elazar. There, Reb Elazar explains, his reason for Reb Elazar is explained, the gozar mishum yasoima b'chaye ho'av. V'hi hamufreshes kan shahodu lo chachomim ba. There's a case called Yesoima B'chayav, which we'll explain shortly, that led Reb Elazar to impose a Yibum restriction in the case of Megarish Esaisha Verzira. However, in the case that Reb Elazar is referring to, in other words, the case that led him to make the Gzera, that case, the case itself, even the Rabbanan agree that there is no Yibum. So let's see the case, the Gemara. Moidim Chachomim L'Reb Elazar, the Chachomim who argued with him in Maseches Yevomis will agree to a Yibum restriction in the following. Biktano Shesiovia, a minor who was married off by her father. Now that marriage is a full-fledged Torah-level marriage. Vinizgarsha, and then she was divorced. The father received the get on her behalf. That's a full-fledged divorce. Vehi Yesoima B'chayoav. She has a very unique status, and she's called an orphan in her father's lifetime, which means that once a woman enters Nisuin, even though she was married off by her father, but upon entering Nisuin, she leaves the realm and the control of her father altogether. And therefore, she's considered as if she's an orphan, even though her father's still alive. V'hechzira. And that girl, while she was still a ktana, while she was still a minor, was then taken back by the man that had divorced her. Now, actions of a minor, let's say, or her accepting the marriage on a Torah level has no validity. On a Torah level, let us point out, she is considered a divorcee of that man. Now, we described her being taken back by that man. The taking back, we'll say, that second marriage, that remarriage, is not of any halachic consequence. So, halachically speaking, she's a divorcee. Now, the man then dies, leaving no children. But he has a brother. What does this girl do? This pseudo-widow, but real Grusha do? Shecholetz es velo misyabemes. Chalitza is done, the shoe removal ceremony to release her from the Yibum bond is done, but she cannot marry that surviving brother. Nay, shegirushel girushin gemurin. Her divorce was a full-fledged divorce, and as I'm sure many of you know, a man cannot marry the woman divorced by his brother. So she's a brother's divorcee, so she can't do Yibum, she can't marry him. V'ein chazorosa chazora gemura. The subsequent remarriage that she had to the man that had divorced her is not considered a real marriage. So she's called Grushas Ochiv, which is punishable by Kores if the brother were to marry her. Bamed Vamumurim, under what circumstance do we say this? Shegirsha Kshiktana V'chziru Kshiktana, where the divorce had taken place while she was still a minor, and as we said, the father accepted the divorce on her behalf, that making her a full-fledged divorcee, and the subsequent marriage to the man, to the husband, was while she was still a minor. So that's her remarriage was not a serious matter. Aval girsho kshiktana v'chziru kshigadoyla. However, if she were divorced as a minor and then remarried after she became 12 years of age, oy shehechzira kshiktana v'godla etzlo, or he in fact took her back as a minor, but she crossed into adulthood while with him, umes, and then he died. Both options are open for her. She can receive chalitza from the surviving brother or be married by the surviving brother, because the second stage of their marriage was a reality, was a full-fledged remarriage. Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Omru, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, it was said, Choletzes velo misyabemes. Chalitza, yes, but no yibum. Even in the case where she was taken back as a gedola, no yibum. There's a Rashi says that the reason for this position of Rabbi Eliezer is that he makes a gzeira otu, the case of the Yisoyim B'chayoav case. In other words, the first part of this source, which we sell out with something everyone would agree with. Now, in looking at this source, the Gemara points out V'ha-ha-ha, the case where she's taken back as a ketana and she crosses into adulthood with that husband. Deketois isha achas domi. It's the same, we'll say, format as the case of tois isha achas, namely, an original marriage that was faulty, that was weak or non-existent, and then a subsequent with godla etzlo, she crossed into adulthood, staying with him based on that. The remarriage done under faulty circumstances, and that subsequent bia that took place after she reached adulthood with him, we see is upligi. They argue, in other words, the Tanakama said that yibum was a possibility, meaning that the marriage took hold. And if the marriage takes hold, if you were to want to disband that, you would need a get. Rabbi Eliezer says not so, but what do we see from this? We see that cases that follow that tois isha achas model, where there was an original faulty kedushin and then a subsequent bia, is that subsequent bia predicated on the faulty kedushin or not? And you see here people that say it's not predicated on the fault, on the original weak kedushin, meaning a get would be required. What did Rabbo say about cases like that? He said, "Divrei Hakol eino tzricha himeno get." So as we said, we'll just restate that at this point the thinking is that this case with the ketana and subsequent godla etzlo is like the case of Tois Nidorim, where a kiddushin was made conditional that she has no Nidorim, and then it turns out that she has Nidorim. There would be an argument. Does that case of that marriage require a get to disband it or not? And that is a problem for Rabba, because according to Rabba, everyone would agree that when the conditions are not met, the whatever subsequent bia that had been after the stated conditions, the subsequent bia was predicated on the original kiddushin, conditions not met, no marriage whatsoever. Well, we then have a problem. So the Gemara responds, Hosam nami beha komiflugi. There too, in the case of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim with the Yibum story, they argue concerning the following. Mor sovar odom yodea she'en kiddushei ketana klum. The Tanakhama holds that everyone knows that the Kiddushin of a minor is nothing. V'gomer ubo l'shem Kiddushin, and the subsequent bia that he had with her, after she reached adulthood, he did so with marriage intention. Umosavar, Rebbe Elezer would hold, Ein odom yodea she'ein kiddushik tana klum. You cannot assume that people know that the kiddushin of a ktana is of no value. Rather, people might very well think that there is something to it, that the kiddushin of a ktana is meaningful. V'chi kobol, and when they have the subsequent intimacy, adaito de kiddushin harishonim kobol, it was predicated on that original kiddushin, which, of course, was worthless. However, in the case of a kiddushin predicated on a tnai, in other words, a conditional kiddushin, and then he takes her in without restating the kiddushin, and it turns out the conditions were not met, everyone will agree you don't need to have a get. Because when a condition is stated at the outset, there's no reason for the husband to think that the conditions are not going to be met. And he therefore has the bia based on the original condition. When those conditions aren't met, there's no marriage, no need for a get. So, once again, we show how Rabbah's position can be maintained, and that the machlokism that we see in this source and the previous source concerned a different issue altogether, namely how much can we assume people know about faulty kiddushins. The Gemara continues, it bar nami Omar Rav Acho Bar Yankov Omar Rav Yochanan. This Itmar Nami means it's stated likewise, like Rabbah, the Toisi Sha'achas Greda, it does not require a get. Rav Acho quoting Rav Yochanan said, HaMekadish Al Tanai, a kiddushin that was made with a stated condition, Uboal, and then a subsequent intimacy, and then it was discovered that the conditions are not met. Divrei Hakol Eino Tzricha Heimenu Get. Everyone will agree there is no need for a get. The Gemara continues with another question. You see the Eisve, we have this marked as a long question on this particular shita, that a conditional condition followed by a biostam, and the condition not being met, we're of the opinion right now that everyone holds no need for a get. Well, let's see. Eisve Rav Acho Brei de Rav Iko Bar Achtei. Rav Acho, the son of Rav Iko, who was apparently the son of his sister. Which means that Rav Acho's sister's son raised the following objection. Chalitza muta'as kshera. We should point out, by the way, that this is a long question. There's a concept known as chalitza muta'as. The word muta'as comes from the word tos, a mistaken chalitza. Is kosher. That means the widow would be released from the yibum bond and allowed to marry anyone she wants. Ezohi chalitza mutas. What is meant by a chalitza mutas? Notice we have a bracketed section. If you skip the brackets, you'll see the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan, the one that we are working with going through the Gemara. Within the brackets, there's another shita, that of Reish Lakish, but it is not accepted as far as this particular piece of Gemara is concerned. So if we just skip the brackets for a moment, what is a chalitza mutas that's said to be kosher? Omar Rabbi Yochanan Kol Sha'oimer Lo. Any Yavam who is told, apparently we're dealing with a Yavam that is not so interested in going through the Chalitza ceremony. And they tell him, Chalotz Lo Amanash Shetitein Loch Mosayim Zuz. Remove her shoe. Chalotz Lo means allow her to remove your shoe. On condition that she will pay you 200 zuz. Chalitza Mutas says that even though she is not going to pay the 200 zuz, the chalitza is kosher. So a condition was made, an action was done, the condition was not met, and yet it's considered kosher. It's considered a reality. Alma, what do we see from here? Kevon di avad maisa, since an action was done, achule achle letanoi, the condition that had been stipulated is foregone. Hachanami, kevon de bo'al, so to be aware, a woman is married on condition that she has no vows, and then intimacy takes place without a restatement of that condition. Achuli achli letanoi. There is a forfeiting of that condition, and as such, the kedushin is a total kedushin, is a total marriage, and a get would be required. Well, that's a problem for Rabbo and Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara then provides an answer. Before we go to that, we skip the bracketed section. The Gemara had asked, what is a chalitza mutas? Omer Reish Lakish, kol she'omer lo, any yavam who is told, chalotz lo ubekach ata koinza. Do the chalitza ceremony, and with that you will get your way. You will marry her. Now, we have a situation where we don't want the yibum to take place, and the brother-in-law seems to be set on marrying her. So, but and yet we don't want that to happen. So we tell him, do the chalitza, and with that you'll be able to marry her. And with that you will be marrying her. And the Tanaic source says that that's a legitimate chalitza, and she goes free to marry whomever she wants. Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that cannot possibly be a good chalitza. Ani shoine, I teach, I explain, bein shenisgavein hu velo nisgavnu hi, whether he had intentions for chalitza, but not she, bein shenisgavnu hi velo nisgavein hu, or she had chalitza intentions, but he did not, which is the case over here. He had marriage intentions, not chalitza release intentions. Chalitza sa psula. The chalitza is ineffective. Ad shi iskavnu shneihem. Until they both have release intentions. The at amris chalitza sa kshera. And you, Reish Lakish, say that that is a good chalitza where he has he does chalitza with the intent with a non-chalitza intention. Elom Rabbi Yochanan, rather Rabbi Yochanan said what he did. Now we go down to where we left off. We demonstrated from Rabbi Yochanan's explanation of a chalitza mutas is kshera that a condition was made, an action was done, and then the original conditions are not met. The reality nevertheless sets in. So too with the case of a kiddushin al tnai bo'al stam. And the conditions are not met, but the fact that he was bald, the fact that he had intimacy with her, that's a forfeiting of the condition. And therefore, a get would be required. That is our problem for Rabbah and Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara answers, Omar le bar be rav shapir ko amris. To be read in wonderment. Shapir means are you saying well? Are you saying something accurate? In other words, the proof that you brought to your position from the case of chalitza is no proof. The reason being is that the condition there wasn't a condition in the first place that could have had any effect on the chalitza. So therefore, the chalitza is unbridled. It's unrestricted by the condition. Being that the condition in that case of chalotz law, menashe, titein loch, masayim zuz, the fact that the condition did not conform to the rules of condition making, there is no condition and it's a straightforward chalitza. So therefore, you can't ask from the effectiveness of the chalitza mutas, where there in effect is no condition, to a case of a marriage where the rules of condition making were fulfilled, making the condition into a real condition. That's the essence of this answer. So let's read it now inside. Omar Le, we're reading again, Omar Le Bar Beirav. Bar Beirav says to, Bar Beirav is a term that could refer to a student of the yeshiva, not necessarily a formal name, but he responds to the question raised by the son of the sister of Rav Acha above. So the Bar Beirav says to the son of the sister of Rav Acha, Shapir Koamis, is your question a reliable question? Michti, kol tnai mehecho gamrinon. All conditions, when we make conditions, from where do we learn the rules of condition making? Mitnai b'nei God uvnei Ruvain. From the, we'll call it the original condition making that we see in the Torah concerning the tribes of God and Reuven when they confronted Moshe Rabbeinu with their proposal of remaining on the eastern bank of the Jordan River. We're not going to repeat the entire biblical passage concerning that encounter, but nevertheless, there are rules of condition making that we learn from there. And one of the rules is Tno de'efshir l'kumi ayadei shliach kihasam, conditions that can be fulfilled by through an intermediary. Have tenoi tno. The condition is considered a binding condition. In other words, when someone makes a condition, it has to be a type of condition that either the speaker can fulfill the condition, or we'll say the listener can fulfill the conditions that are posed, or an emissary of the listener, an agent, a shaliach. Delo efshir l'kumi al-dei shaliach, an act that cannot be fulfilled through an agent. And the immediate example of that is our case of chalitza. Only the brother-in-law does the chalitza ceremony. Only he can fulfill the partner in the ceremony of the shoe removal. He can't appoint someone to be a stand-in for him. So a type of case where the condition cannot be fulfilled through a shaliach ki hasam, like the case of chalitza, lo have tana. The tanai is not a tanai. So therefore, the case of the conditional chalitza is not to be paralleled, is not even to be raised as an objection to the case of a conditional marriage. The Gemara asks, but v'ha bia d'lo efshir l'kumi ayadei shliach ki hasam v'kohavi tana. The case of someone who has intimacy for the purposes of establishing a marriage, like the case of I'm marrying you on condition that you don't have vows. Now, you can't have a stand-in. Bia is an act that the husband himself does. It's an act of intimacy that the husband himself does. You can't have an emissary for that. And yet, we see that conditions can be made. We saw an example of this on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. You can see this in the using the markings, the second to last crown marking, and the frame section said, Hareini Boalech Almanas Shiyirtzaba. Bia was done with a condition stated, and that condition was taken seriously. So just like there, you couldn't have a Shaliach, and yet the condition was okay. Why do you say that the case of Chalitza cannot be raised as an objection, where you don't, even though you don't have a Shaliach possible, it nevertheless is considered it should be considered a condition? The Gemara says, Hosam, in the case of Kiddushin, Mishum de'iskush havayas lahadodi. All the different forms of havayas. Havayas means to establish a marriage. All the different forms of establishing a marriage are compared to one another. And the result of that is, other forms of establishing a marriage, like offering a woman money, or a shtar, a document, just like kiddushei kesef and shtar can be accomplished through an agent, instead of the man himself, the husband himself, giving the woman to be his wife money, he can have an agent giving her the money on his behalf, and it works. So by virtue of the fact that there's precedent in the realm of marriage establishment having an agent functioning, so with regard to Bia also, we say that the condition that's made surrounding the Bia, even though Bia per se is not subject to an agent, but since the other forms of marriage establishment are done through an agent, and hence a Tanai is effective, so too in the case of Bia. However, as we pointed out before, the case of Chalitza, though, in no aspect of Chalitza can an agent be used, and therefore conditions made in the realm of Chalitza are a non-condition, they're a non-starter, and therefore the fact that Chalitza mutas is kosher is basically because it's a full-fledged Chalitza without a condition. However, someone who marries a woman on condition that she doesn't have vows, and it turns out that she does have, there the condition was meaningful. And with the lack of fulfillment of those conditions, there is no marriage. If there is no marriage, there's no need for a get. And with that, Rabbo and Rabbi Yochanan, their positions are maintained. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.